welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're bringing on the line Kay Wilson Bolton, who is the Volunteer Director of Spirit of Santa Paula. She's also one of the hosts of the Bruised Reads podcast and an author in an upcoming Mission Matters book. And we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff today. We got a lot to cover. But Kay, first off, I just want to say it's so great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Adam. It's good to see you always. Thank you.
All right, Kay. So a lot to cover here today. A lot's been going on since our last episode together. So for our newer audience, just so you know, we previously had Kay on the show talking about her background and a number of other things. And also we did a deep dive into Spirit of Santa Paula. So definitely encourage you, if you didn't catch that episode, to definitely give it a look. Kay, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Kay, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Kay, what mission matters to you?
Today, my mission is the continuation of the effort to end homelessness in my community. Mm-hmm. And what is so apparent now is that everybody knows a little bit about homelessness, mm-hmm. which is different than maybe even a year ago. So that's the goal, to prevent and end it if we can. Hmm.
So I know we, and thank you for sharing that, and we've worked together before and mentioned Spirit of Santa Paula. I don't want to assume that all of our new listeners caught the original episode we did together. So maybe let's give a little bit of the history behind Spirit of Santa Paula and your work.
The awareness came in 2008 on Christmas Eve, when we discovered that a homeless man had died in one of our churches. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I don't think anybody realized we even had homeless people in our community. Mm-hmm. But as it turned out, there were probably 20, 25. And how that event even happened is that a janitor in one of the local churches had been letting homeless people into the building at night, mm-hmm. because it was very cold that year. And as God does things, one of them died. Hmm. And the medical examiner assured me that he was going to die somewhere that night, and how lucky he was. He was actually in a church, yeah. in a safe place and warm and out of the elements. And the astonishing thing was that this man was 36 years old, had family living within 2 miles, and it was a shock to think that this could happen in my community. So had a resolve to do something about it. A chaplain with Ventura County Fire Department, and I was happened to be on that call. Yeah. So I was the right person at the right place at the right time to initiate and launch a program that would actually facilitate preventing and ending homelessness.
Wow. Yeah. What a story. And every time I hear it and I pick up something new from it, like I didn't know he was also that young. So I think some of the misconceptions around homelessness and things that maybe once we thought were a certain way and we find out are completely different. Like the idea that a homeless person has to be a certain way when really there's kids. I mean, there's just so many other things that have taken place also with this displacement over the last couple of years for so many. Maybe give a little bit of like what you've seen, like to kind of bust some of those myths, if you will, on what people may think homelessness is versus what you found it to be.
I can assure you that when someone hears the word homeless person, they picture an addict, old man, dirty, maybe with a dog, younger people who are out of it, so to speak, panhandling, mm-hmm. begging on a corner, in the way, smell bad, maybe dangerous. Mm-hmm. And what we have seen as a progression over the last, I'm going to say, 5 years, is the face of homelessness has changed dramatically to now include commonly single moms and children, grandmothers and grandchildren, senior citizens, with dementia, many people with mental illness challenges. Still, the addiction is very, very apparent, whether it's drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to manage. I can argue both ways, whether or not mental illness is a result of homelessness or homelessness is caused by mental illness. And probably both of those statements are true. Mm-hmm. I do know that if you're living on the street, you will become, quote, crazy at some point. Finding a bathroom, getting your phone charged, you don't really know what day it is, don't get the right food, you get a toothache, mm-hmm. you get health challenges, you can't remember if you had a doctor's appointment yesterday, today, or tomorrow. It's a very compelling case for why we have got to end homelessness. Mm. You know, families want to help, and usually they do initially, but what happens is the addiction, if there is one, just rules the day. Mm. And they steal the rent money, the car, the jewelry, grandma's earrings, and they need money for that next fix so that they can get through the day. So it's very complex now, and our shelter is almost at capacity. We're allowed 49 people, and we have a grandmother with dementia. That's an amazing challenge. We have five moms with a total of 12 children coming to us from domestic violence situations, motels, being evicted. COVID did such a number on the population, everyone's mental health. And so it's changing. And fortunately, there are government programs that will fund nonprofits like ours do the hard work. I always say that running a homeless shelter is great, but boy, is it hard. You don't get people in congregate living who don't really want to be there, but glad they are. And they want to do chores, but they don't do it well. Some don't want to do chores at all. Great, but hard. So it's how I sort of sum that up. But that's how it's changed. And the way I see the economy going from today forward is lots more families going to be displaced. People can't get to work because they can't put gas in the car. There goes the job, no rent payment, out of housing. It's a terrible spiral.
And so one of the things that, and the reason I asked you that question is because, you know, as I've gotten to know you more and also your work, one of the things that I know that you do very well is really the humanizing this condition and this epidemic really of homelessness and letting individuals know that, you know, it's just like that it could, number one, it's just like your family member. It could be a lot of different things that happen. Like these are, you know, normal individuals that have maybe had something happen in their life that, you know, takes them to a different path that has led to homelessness. Like, so, and then when we talk about the kids, maybe they're even like, they have no control over that. So one of the things that I like about your work, and I like also that in terms of the continuation of what you're doing, is that you've also, you know, decided to take and your time and also to make other content to build awareness around the homelessness situation overall. So the new podcast that you'll be launching, so Bruce Reed's podcast, I know we went back and forth on quite a few different names. I know another one that was up that was in the debate originally, We All Bleed Red. I mean, there was a lot of different back and forth we did on the production of this to what is going to get the message across that you like to convey and the type and also more importantly, the message of your guests that you'll be featuring and the individuals and the stories, because I'm going back to, you know, one of the names that maybe didn't make the cut, We All Bleed Red. It's just saying that, you know, we're all human, you know, we all do bleed red. But that wasn't the final name, of course. And I actually love the one that we settled on. But maybe just like in general, just to kind of maybe start at the beginning, like what's some of your idea and your vision for the podcast and the content that you'll be creating?
I believe that if we knew each other's story, we would love the whole world.
Yeah.
And everyone has one. And when you think about your own story, it's worth sitting down and chatting with somebody about. And if we knew the story behind every homeless person, I think we'd be a lot kinder and we'd figure out a way to maybe help rather than criticize and condemn which yeah. is the social media craze now. Mm-hmm. And the first one we wanted to feature is truly a bruised reed. His name is Adon Tadeo. And since you and I have spoken, he actually died. Mm. And I wanted his story told. Charming, funny, mm-hmm. industrious, helpful, kind, but he was an addict. Mm. And it overtook his life. So that when he would go to jail, he would call, okay, I'm coming out. Can I stay at Harvard? Can I go in the truck runs? Can I help with the food pantry? Yeah. Yes, Adon, but make sure when you get out, you come directly to Harvard. Do not take a side trip. And this last one, he didn't come to us first. He took a side trip. And it's believed it was a drug overdose. Mm. And so bruised reeds is actually a scriptural, biblical term. The prophet Isaiah talked about bruised reeds, that a bruised reed God will not break. Mm-hmm. Bruised reeds get bent, damaged somehow, but God will never break a bruised reed, and there's always a place for healing. And so I thought if we could talk about people being that bruised reed, mm-hmm. we'd be kinder about maybe taking a moment to hear the story, mm-hmm. maybe try to understand the backstory of what road they took. Mm-hmm. And I've wondered, what first bad decision did a child make? Mm-hmm. that took them on a path of destruction? Was yeah. it, I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't want to make my bed. I don't want to do my homework. I want those friends, not those friends. I don't want to eat dinner with the family. All of those bad choices led to the ultimate, you know, unsheltered situation for almost every single person.
Yeah.
So telling the story is good for us to hear as reminders, but it's also good for the public in general to know that everybody has a story.
Yeah.
You know, but for the grace of God go I. There was a time in my life when, you know, I had this wonderful group of friends. When we get together for our potlucks, you know, we have wine. And I decided 20 years ago that if I could give up red wine and popcorn, mm-hmm. I would then be able to say to the people who look to me, if I did that, you can do that. Mm-hmm. And so it was a commitment I made to kind of work, mm-hmm. walk the talk that I was proclaiming. So mm-hmm. the bruised reed concept is to make the public aware and have people mm-hmm. listen so they develop a softer heart mm-hmm. towards the story each one of us has.
Can you talk a little bit more about the, just kind of like what the power of story means to you? And I'll tell you what I mean by this. So I feel like in the media, like outlets, like obviously, you know, like celebrities, athletes, like certain individuals, like they're used to telling their story. They're used to getting it out there. And that's kind of like their business, obviously, right? But in the case for what you're doing, it's really not only an awareness campaign and obviously helping there, but it's also a platform that individuals can tell their story so others can benefit from it. So it really is when I think about some of the individuals that you'll have on and that you'll have on, you know, what I have on the show, it really is a way for them to even pay it forward based on sharing their story, because maybe there's somebody else that's going through a similar situation and this lets them know that they're not alone. So what is the power of just telling your story mean to you?
That is the other element. One of the first people who will be interviewed is Coco, and she has six children. She spent maybe the first 30 years of her life struggling with addiction. She's at a point of her life now where she stays at Harvard, mm-hmm. and she's a Spirit of Santa Paul employee now. And she has a story to tell about how she one day resolved to just do better, be better. And she's a pretty good poster on Facebook now, mm-hmm. encouraging absolutely everybody, you can do it. I did it. You can do it. Yeah. And so the power of her story, I mean, and it's a brutal story about the kids living in garages with her and her bad habits and struggles, and it's a lot to that. So just seeing somebody like Coco say, you know, there is other life, another life to be led, if you're willing to sacrifice the thing you love the most at the moment for thing that you will love best when you're over the hurdle of addiction. So that's the other element of the story, encouraging others to know that the power is within them to beat the terrible scourge of addiction.
Mm. Now, I want to switch focus slightly here, because I know that you of course, are at Spirit of Santa Paula, so working there, and you've been there for, you've done a lot of great work there. But in addition to this, you also work in real estate, and I don't know how you juggle both, like running a shelter, working in real estate, but I know you're very dedicated to your clients as well and specialized. You've been in that industry for a lot of years. So I would like to spend a little bit of time here, maybe just telling, I'm getting a little bit more on your background in real estate and your niche.
Well, this is my 45th year in full-time real estate. So, it's odd to have one career for that period of time. My father was a real estate broker in a small town, Yucaipa, California. And my parents divorced when I was in high school, and dad decided to go into real estate, and he could never pay the child support. And mom used to send me into his office to collect the child support, which I hated doing. And so I thought, you know, if he can't pay child support, why is he in real estate? And it's the one business I said I would never, ever go into. But as life, you know, takes you on a journey, did in 1976, bought a small real estate office in Santa Paula, California. And so grew it into a very successful organization over the years. And I sold my company in 2012 and love working for Century 21 Everest. And now I don't have to pay the rent, which is really nice. I went through a very hard time, 2008, when we had the global meltdown, you know, in the mortgage industry, and everything fell apart. So life is good now, but, you know, I mean, it's been wonderful, particularly wonderful the last couple of years on the price ride, which hurts in the end. And it was great for a while, but if you're in the business, you have to ride, you know, the pony that's running at the time. And so I've looked, though, differently at what we all view as a rate of return, because you have to figure out what to do with the money that you're making. And, you know, a rate of return doesn't have to be on a financial statement. A rate of return for how we live our lives can be putting a battery in somebody's car, filling up a tank of gas, lifting somebody up so that they do better and can be better for their future. And my whole view of how we invest has changed dramatically. And I know I sleep really well at night.
Obviously this is a nationwide show. So I'm curious, what areas you work in, and do you, let's start there maybe, like what areas you work in geography wise, niche, and otherwise.
I'm in Ventura County, which is halfway between Santa Barbara and Los Angeles along the coast. Ventura County's unique area, farming is very big in the Oxnard Plain and in some of the more rural parts of the county. And I live in Santa Paula, but our company has offices in Ventura and Camarillo and Oxnard. And so I get to work around the county. And because I've been around so long, I know a little bit about a lot and a lot about some things. So I'm still very busy. This is the first year I actually took on an apprentice, because I did get so busy, and I'd like somebody to be able to carry on when it comes time for me to say, I don't want to do this anymore. So as long as my brain is good, I'd like to continue working, because I like the resources to lift people up who just need a helping hand. When I look back at the people who extended a hand to me, I live my life paying back. Some people like to talk about paying forward, but I'm not paying forward to get a benefit. I'm paying back all the people who stooped in many ways and put out a hand to me so that I could be pulled along. So now I can pull and push others.
It's great, Kay. So I also want to, I can't let you off the line before we talk about the upcoming book. Now, just for the audience, just so you know, we will be bringing Kay back on after the book is live. So we're just going to get a little tidbit or two here today. But don't worry, again, we'll do a full deep dive with Kay once the book is actually released. First off, Kay, I'm excited to have you in the book. I think it's going to be great to get your story out there. But maybe just share a little bit with our audience about maybe some of the ideas that or some of the themes that you plan on presenting.
I actually signed up for two books. One is on the entrepreneurial side and the other is on the business leadership side, mm-hmm. On the nonprofit. And I found that I kept getting my stories mixed up. And which book was I working on? And what that revealed to me is how intertwined my volunteer life is with my business life. Yeah. And so I think there's a little bit of overlap in each of the books. And, you know, that is what it is. And it will unfold as I read it in the book. Hopefully there aren't a lot of errors in that. And so what I like about the leadership part of it is that people in business can just do so much to change the world. If they're willing to look at their bottom line differently and do some investment in a rate of return that benefits humanity and not so much that 401k. And I just know God is going to take care of me if I do the right thing while I have the opportunity to do that. And so I'm looking forward to reading the book myself to see what I said.
Oh my gosh, Kay. When you said that you kind of get the stories between what you do professionally, what you do also Spirit of Santa Paula and everything else. I mean, I help and I work on obviously producing your show and I've been working on projects with you and I get them confused because you're, I guess the technical term that we like to use in media would be like your brand, right? Your branding. But for you, it's just your authentic self. They are intertwined and I mix them up too. I'm like, wait a minute. Because it's one person and we're all one person. But the way that you manage to kind of intertwine those two and juggle and be a benefit and service in both, to me, it's just inspiring because I see it too.
Okay, good.
Well, Kay, as always, I mean, it's been great having you on the show and working with you. And I can't wait till our next interview when the book is live and we actually do a deep dive. But that being said, if one of our viewers would like to learn more about Spirit of Santa Paula to see the work that you're doing there, or if somebody's interested in learning more about real estate and from your end and connecting with you and your team, I mean, what's the best way for people to do that?
For Spirit of Santa Paula, it's simple, spiritofsantapaula.org. We are just such an interesting organization, started in 2002 with no particular goal, just a little bit of a purpose to do something good for the community. And we didn't find the wind beneath our wings until we found Richard had died in one of our churches. Mm-hmm. So spiritofsantapaula.org. And then for real estate, I have really the luxury of you can Google me. And find me just about anywhere. But my website is either kwilsonbolton.com or realestatemagic.com. I selected that word back when we were first knew what a domain name was, and I stuck with it. And I'm really glad because I really have to spell it, mm-hmm. realestatemagic.com.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. I noticed that in your branding. I had a feeling you had that early on because that one would be scooped up. And to our audience, by the way, we'll put all that information, the show notes and the link so that you can just click on it and check out Kay, both on the real estate side and Spirit of Santa Paula, see the great work they're doing there. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, why they do what they do, like where their heart is, what is the magic in how they're adding to the marketplace and what the difference they're trying to make. So we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. Hit that subscribe button. And Kay, really, it has been a pleasure. I look forward to the next time we get to work together.
Good. Me too, Adam. Bye for now.